Market View on Money FM 89.3.
We've officially come to the end of what's been a very tumultuous first quarter. And while the Straits Times Index managed to close out the month of March with an impressive 2.7% intraday gain, that did not stop the fact that the Straits Times Index has fallen by almost 23% since the start of the year at 2,481 points. On top of that, we also saw heightened bouts of volatility that gripped markets and spooked investors over the last 3 months due to the COVID-19 pandemic's rapid spread across the world, and also signs of volatility from various sources, such as a plunge in oil prices and also worries about liquidity squeezes. Today, to help us assess the quarter that was and to maybe get more guidance for what to expect in the upcoming quarter, we're joined again by Mr. Terrence Wong, who's the CEO of Azure Capital. Mr. Wong, thank you so much for joining us, and good afternoon to you. I wonder if you are glad that we are at the end of what's been a very volatile first quarter.
Extremely glad, JP.
All right.
Well, it's really as bad as it gets.
I know. So, Terrence, let's talk about exactly how bad that is. I hate to deepen the knife that's really stabbed markets this year. But this is not the first time we've seen markets this downtrodden and despairing. But compared to previous downturns, how bad was this quarter when you compare it to the other times we saw broad-based losses and volatility, based on your experience?
Well, in my 20 years as a professional, I think that this has been it is the deepest, and it is not only the depth, but actually the speed of the decline was really quite something. Previous major downturn that we're looking at was in 2008, and that seemed like child's play compared to what happened this month. From the peak in mid-February, I think it's 13 February for the STI, to the trough this month, we are looking at over 30% down. And just last Monday itself, you saw the Dow dive down by 13% in a single session. And this is the second worst in history after the 1987 infamous Black Monday crash, right? STI also followed suit with a 7% dip. I believe that these fears are not unfounded. This total lockdown that we see globally is really something that, you know, the world has really not witnessed ever. There'll be a lot of pain for a very long period of time, and I certainly don't see a V-shaped recovery like what happened during SARS days.
All right. And of course, a lot of that will hinge also on the number of stimulus policies that have been rolled out by major governments, major central banks, including here in Singapore, that resilience budget that was unveiled last week, and the MAS's decision recently to bring the Sing dollar's slope to near zero and lowering the midpoint of the trading of the range also for the first time since 2009. But based on your experience, how far might these go to cushioning the blow against businesses and individuals? And does this give you any sense of comfort at all as an investment manager, Terrence?
Well, looking at there's this $48 billion that's allocated to the stimulus package. That's only like 5 weeks from the $6.4 billion that Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat unveiled in Budget 2020. All these big numbers. We're talking about 11% of GDP. And DPM Heng also said that there will be further drawdowns on past reserves, you know, should conditions worsen. And my bet is that it will. Job protection is the top of the priority list for the government, and I believe that he has delivered very, very boldly on this front. We're talking about some $15 billion, which is one-third of the overall stimulus, and to be fair, the assistance is there, and that could partially cushion the fallout, but I think really a lot depends on the economy and how fast we take to recover from this. If it is going to be long drawn, this may not be sufficient. And coming to the FX part where you were talking about, while the resilience package, you know, has exceeded most expectations, that has done a portion of the heavy lifting, I was expecting more like a 1-2 punch with the monetary policy easing, and that was what they have done. That implies the central bank will actually allow for a weaker exchange rate to help support export-driven growth and to try to ward off any kind of deflationary threats.
All right. We're still speaking to Terrence Wong, who's the CEO of Azure Capital, helping us recap what's been a very forgettable and harrowing first quarter. Terrence, you touched on the some of the currency moves in the FX space. That leads me to another question we have. Just a couple of weeks ago, there were some serious questions raised by investment managers and economists about liquidity issues in global markets. Was this something that was also added to your plate of worries, if you had a plate of worries? And do you think that central banks, after all these swap movements recently, do you think they've done enough to at least address these and perhaps provide just a little bit of grease to make sure that the economic mechanism of global markets and global economies has been greased enough to try and give you just a little bit of a reason perhaps to to sleep a little bit easier at least?
I'm not too sure whether I can sleep easier. But you know, you're talking about the volatility right now, the liquidity issues, I think it's simmered down a little versus, you know, 1-2 weeks back where volatility just really went off the charts. The Fed has come in to establish the swap lines with major central banks around the world. That, I think, has helped. You know, Japan, Europe has taken like some $100 billion in 3-month ops. The swap lines were tapped for more than $206 billion by the central banks. So that helped to cool the cross currency basis markets, and you can see that the hoarding for the US dollars, which was very apparent some 2 weeks ago, that has sort of like tapered. There's now a sell off in US dollars, but I think should the conditions worsen, I think that there will be a flight to these haven currencies. There's only one haven currency, which is US dollar. That could happen.
All right. And because there could be other bouts of flights to safe havens, could we start to see liquidity crunches moving forward? And will it be prudent for investment managers, from retail investors to more experienced managers like yourself, perhaps to maintain more liquidity should another unforeseen cash crunch come?
Oh, I certainly think so. I think that it's prudent to cash up at this juncture, because I think there's still a lot of uncertainty. In fact, to me, there are a lot of uncertainties, and if you're looking at the economy, it's probably going down. There's a downward bias at current moment.
All right. Terrence, Mr. Wong, is we look at some of the, I'd like to ask you about some of the strategies, if you were able to employ anything that helped you mitigate possible market losses, and whether or not any of these strategies can be employed actually by average investors. Was there anything you were able to do or pull out of your sleeve that perhaps helped you at least soothe the burn from markets over the last 3 months?
Well, just like everybody else, I really don't know where the bottom is, though I'm fairly confident.
Fair enough.
We are nowhere near the bottom. So I recognize that it is going to be a rough patch. I've done a few webinars where I actually told investors that, you know, there are certain points that you can consider to start to invest. But the point is not right now. I look at the price to book and I take, you know, a certain discount off the price to book. And at every level, you can come in with a little bit of money. You enter in phases, you enter in tranches. And of course, even after you deploy, like say, 4 equal tranches, it could still very well go down. But then, you know, when the market starts to turn up, I think in the mid to long term, you'll benefit from it. But as I said, I don't think the entry is right now, because there's still a lot of uncertainty. And I think that bad news is just starting to surface.
So not the time right now to bottom fish or even to look at cost averaging, you think, Terrence? Is that what you're trying to get at?
That's exactly right.
All right. So, Terrence, before we end, my final question for you is to ask you what kind of indicators will you be watching out for a possible market recovery? You have indicated that a V-shaped recovery is probably not going to happen, but what kind of indicators will you be watching out for to see if the worst is over or whether it's safe to get back in to start dipping your toes in the water again? Is there anything or certain indicators out there that you're going to be watching out for closely in the next couple of months?
Well, JP, I think it is still very early days. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of investors, they are saying that, wow, we've got to wait for the flattening of the virus curve.
Right.
And then, you know, when we see the number of deaths or the mortality rates improving, you know, that's when we should start to jump in. Well, in SARS case, that was the case. But current moment, because the hurt of the coronavirus is so deep, you know, for the economy. And we're not only talking about selected economies. We are talking about the global economy. It is going to be very hard. And then potentially there's going to be social and political implications because of this. So I would like rather wait a little bit longer and wait for, I can't say wait for the dust to settle because it's going to be far, far away. So I would think that, you know, I'll wait and feel when, you know, the markets have sort of like digested some of this bad news before rethinking when it's a good entry point.
All right. So basically what you're saying is there needs to be some sort of accounting for what the actual cost of the COVID-19 pandemic is, not just immediately in terms of a health crisis, but also on actual industries and global economies.
That's correct.
All right. Terrence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital, thank you so much for joining us today on Market View. And again, we hope that the next quarters will be a little bit more forgiving for yourself and everybody else here in Singapore. Stay safe and stay in good health, sir.
You too, JP.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.